Thanks for listening to this Arrow FM podcast, shared on accessmedia.nz with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Good morning, everybody, or rather, greetings. We don't know what time you're listening. You're listening to a program called Avant Gardening, coming from the Wairarapa, New Zealand. Our presenters are Margaret, Anna-Marie and Marnie. In this series of programs, we examine how the world is changing and the effects on gardening and producing food. We'll be looking at different systems and approaches to gardening, their principles, other ideas, as well as examples of all these different approaches. Now today we're going to continue talking about water. We are actually recording this in winter in the Wairarapa, and we've had a very wet winter. So Marnie, do you want to kick off with why is water so important?
Well, everything on the planet is based on it really, isn't it? We're a water world. Water, particularly in the Wairarapa, because we're on the east coast of New Zealand, is particularly important, as with most places in the planet. West of countries tends to be wetter, east of countries tends to be drier. And here on the east coast, we can get some very, very dry summers. Mm. I can remember one from probably 15 years ago now, where it stopped raining at the beginning of November and didn't start again until the end of April the following year. It was very hot and ridiculously dry. Mm. Now, in terms of gardening and anything else that you're going to do on a lifestyle block or a small holding, everything needs water. Your garden needs water. You need water. Your stock needs water. If it's not raining and you're not connected into the town water supply, then you've got a bit of a problem.
Even if you are connected to the town water supply, they put a water ban so you can't water your garden anyway. So
yes, they do. Yes, they do. Water is not just a problem in the Wairarapa, though. It's a problem around the world. Access to good, fresh, clean water is a major issue in many, many countries. We're lucky here in New Zealand. It rains quite a lot. So if we want to catch it and use it, we can. Some places, particularly in the States, you're not allowed to actually catch rainwater for use. Mm. And you can get into quite a lot of trouble for doing it.
Why is that?
supposedly it's to do with health and safety, because rainwater isn't safe to drink. Actually, I think it's got a lot more to do with the companies who supply water.
Okay, so it's a control thing. Because I would have thought, we always talk rainwater is one of the purest. As long as it doesn't run across a funny roof or something
like
that.
Depends where you live.
Yeah.
Because it does pick up stuff in the atmosphere. If you've got a heavily polluted atmosphere, rainwater does pick up stuff as it comes down.
Right.
But here in New Zealand, you know, we're pretty good. We're not totally clean and green, but we are pretty good. And I know lots and lots of people who collect rainwater, not only for gardening and for stock, but also for drinking, for washing, for showering, cooking.
What do you do, Marnie? Do you collect your own water?
Bit of both. Mm. So I have a bore, a well,
okay,
that I use, which is most of the house supply, but I also have a tank, I use that for certain things. For the well water is very mineral heavy. Mm-hmm. Underground water tends to be. It can be iron or it can just be dissolved minerals. Okay. So that's when you end up with all of those white precipitates on your glass in your bathroom when you've had your shower or whatever.
Is it lime?
That's all of those different things that are dissolved in groundwater.
What about nitrates? Is that an issue for you? Because you are kind of in dairy country.
I'm quite lucky because I sit right on the edge of that kind of country.
Right.
Not so much for me, but I do note that when the local council have put a couple of wells down recently, quite close to me, they've gone very, very deep.
You've gone into the aquifer.
They've gone a long way down. I think initially, for that surety of the longevity of the well. So, you know, if the water level drops, then you don't suddenly end up with a well that goes into nothing. but also it's that purer water. The deeper you go, the better it is.
Really? Yes. Mm. Well, we had a little borehole in Lincoln Road, which was great, particularly when the neighbour cut our water.
Yeah.
So we did have water.
Yeah. So we just collect a lot because where we live under the ranges, we get almost twice the amount of rainfall that Carterton gets, and even in summer, in a dry summer, we still get the rain. You guys are looking at the clouds coming.
Yes, we do watch you.
Yeah, I know.
We do see that.
I feel for you, I really do.
Yeah, we thought of a pipeline down Belvedere Road.
So we have an enormous collection, and we very, very, knock on wood, never run out. So, but I also don't water my garden. I only water my raised beds when I absolutely have to. So like seedlings I will water,
yes.
But mostly I just mulch. And that mulch. It mulches everywhere, you know. It's really thick hay or straw, and that conserving water is more important to me. Yes. For a time thing. It's not just wasting the water, it's also time. I don't want to have to be out there for 2 hours watering every day. Pain in the bottom. Yeah. And because we're on a pump system, as in it pumps the water from the big tanks around the garden, I don't want to be using power either, you know.
That's right. We talked a bit about mulching, but we can go back to that as when the watering systems. But I wanted to ask, you know, we've talked before that Wairarapa has got a lot of stone and the ground is not, I mean, it was a riverbed at one stage.
The three main rivers that run through this area have been all over the valley floor at one time or another. Mm. And you can see that in the ground itself. The property that I used to have to the north of Carterton had about 6 or 7 inches of topsoil in some places, and then it was gravel from there on down.
Okay. Now, does that gravel or that stones underneath heat the ground up and affect the water?
No. To heat the ground up, you would actually have to have the stones on top.
Oh, I see.
That would absorb the heat. So I don't think that...
The soil does warm in the sun. But like Anna said, having the mulch on top really helps to prevent that.
Mm.
So you get to a situation where your soil temperature is much more stable because it's so much more protected from whatever's happening in the weather that day, whether it's a hot day or a cold day. I noticed there's some snow on the ranges today.
Oh, wonderful.
It's obviously been a bit chilly overnight. I know it was raining, but so it's a bit chilly. But the main thing, I think, with water, particularly in those drier areas, is having some way of holding water for when you need it. We get plenty of water during the winter for the most part, lots and lots and lots of it. We get nowhere near enough in the summer. So having some way of holding that water and storing that water until you need it during the summer is really key to successful gardening. As we start to move forward with climate change and the weather gets more unpredictable, we start to get drier winters and hotter summers, storing that water is going to become even more important because you can't predict with any accuracy when your next rain's going to come.
Yes.
And if you don't know where your water's coming from, really gardening's a bit of a no-hoper because nothing can grow without water.
So storage systems, have you both... You haven't got dams?
No.
Neither?
No.
No.
We've got just big tanks. We just collect the rainwater.
So you collect rainwater. You're not pumping from a river or anything at that stage.
No, we've just got a little stream.
You need to be really careful with that. There's a lot of rules about what you can and can't do out of streams and rivers.
Yes.
I use the groundwater for a lot of things around the house, but I have tank water for specific purposes. So, for example, for watering houseplants, you can't water houseplants with groundwater because it's so mineral rich it just kills them. You end up with a white crust on the surface of the soil and it kills them.
Okay.
So I always water with tank water because it's soft water.
Yes, as I was going to say, there is a thing about soft water.
Yeah.
I've just kept thinking of Britain. In London, I was looking after my sister. The kettles and the pots all got covered in this white lime scale.
Yeah, yeah.
A real... So their water, that area, must have been very high in
lime. Yeah, my gran's place... So my nan lived in Suffolk, so she was about 60 miles north of London. And same thing, she always used to regularly treat her kettle with vinegar.
Oh,
as an acid to take all that lime scale off.
Yeah. Oh, sounds like what they tell you to clean your shower glass with.
Yeah, same thing. Yeah.
With vinegar.
Oh, okay, right. Yeah.
Not that the worker believes in that, but that's another story. anyway, getting back to the storage. Yes,
storage is important, but
keeping
appropriate storage is important. So you can keep water in a bucket. But you're going to end up fishing the frogs out of it and whatever else falls in there, you know. So that's not something that's going to be suitable for drinking. But if you've got a tank with a lid and maybe a sieve and all those other things that mean that the water going in is clean,
yes,
then the water in the tank stays much cleaner.
Right.
Mm. Another story for you. When I bought my last house, not the one I'm in now, there was a single concrete tank out the back. And I said to the guy, oh, has that been cleaned out recently? He said, yes, oh, absolutely. I cleaned it out not long ago. And I lived in the house for about 2 years and I had cause to look in the tank one day just to see what the water level was like and looked down and thought, I'm not sure that doesn't look very clean down there. And sure enough, there was nothing on the guttering system to get the water
into
the tank
clean.
Yes. There's no filtering at all. And when I got a chap round to clean the tank, there was a foot and a half of muck in the bottom of the tank.
Oh,
I hope you put that in the compost.
Yes.
It was horrendous. I put leaf sliders, filters, etc. on the guttering for the house, and that kept the water much, much cleaner. So it needs to be kept clean. It needs to be kept safe.
Yes. Yes.
And you can put UV filters and all sorts of other things onto your water supply, which I've never bothered with and I've never had an issue with. But it does need to be kept clean and safe and stop possums falling in it and things like that. You know?
Or if you're in Africa, the odd snake. We don't want that, you know.
Yeah. So once you've got a water supply, once you've got a way of storing water and keeping it good,
yes,
then you can use that water in the house or around the garden or wherever. But even using it, there are good ways and not so good ways of using the water.
Mm.
If you want to water something, just watering it in the morning or in the heat of the day is a bad idea. The water can burn the leaves. The sun can burn the leaves of plants with the water droplets on, but also it evaporates really quickly.
Yes,
I know. So you water early in the morning or you water late at night. Mulching is a big thing.
Mm.
But you have to remember to water before you mulch, because if you mulch dry ground...
Oh, it doesn't get down at all.
The water can't get through very effectively unless you have a torrential downpour.
Yes.
So you're actually causing more of a problem. If you're watering, you use things like a leaky hose. A buried leaky hose is a very effective way of watering, because it gives the plants the opportunity to take the water up more slowly over a longer period of time.
So when you say leaky hose, you mean those green long things with holes in
them? Long hose with holes in it.
That's right.
Yeah. Mm.
No, but do you
No, I would never use those, no.
You use hand watering?
Mulch.
No, mulch. Mulch, 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 mulch. And of course we talked last week about humiculture.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. So for me, the organic matter in the soil makes a massive difference. It acts like a little sponge.
Yes.
The
more you want to keep that, that's
keep
healthy
that
and
high.
I think you have to remember that I'm quite a lot further east than you are.
Oh, yes, I know.
And I get much less rain than
you
do.
Yes.
So I planted a hedge last year. Hedge planting in the winter to give the plants chance to get settled in before the dry summer comes along. And because these plants were very small and because I knew that I was never going to get out there with a hose because it just takes far too much time, I actually ran some irrigation around it and these little dripper buttons that you put on, so 4 litres an hour. So again, same thing. You turn it on for an hour, it drips 4 litres onto a plant very slowly, gives the plant the opportunity to take it up, do that once a week. Lots of mulch on the top, so the water that does go down into the plant stays down there and doesn't get burned off by the wind and the sun. And it's worked really well. The plants are establishing really, really nicely because they're getting that additional water. But I won't do that forever. I'll only do that for the first 2 years. And then once the plants are established, I'll pull that irrigation out and go and use it somewhere else.
Yeah. Well, we've always used drip irrigation. And I have to say it is very effective.
Mm.
But of course, since we've been here, we haven't. And I've noticed the difference because it isn't regular watering.
Yeah.
And we did have a lot of restrictions this last summer, and that makes a difference. I know we didn't use enough of our stored water. There's a very strange system of storage. If you look at our carport with about four or five blue barrels all attached, they've never been, and I have no idea what they've got in them. Maybe it's something else. Maybe it's not water, but you never know.
I'm picking
but,
it's probably water.
See, I know.
We you would hope.
You would hope. But yes, so I know the council's encouraging everyone to get the water butts, you know, the green one. Mm. They don't hold that much.
No, they don't.
You've got to be really wary of that.
They don't. And I think they're really just a, they're a bit of a, I don't know, even, wouldn't even call it a stopgap measure. I think they're just a way of getting people used to the idea of storing water. I believe over on the other coast, on the west coast, they have a local ordinance that requires new houses to have water tanks.
Yes. Even bigger ones, even if it's only for garden use,
they must have a water tank. And I am wholeheartedly applaud that, even if only so it takes the strain off the reticulated council system. I see absolutely no point in treating water to a drinkable quality and then putting it on your garden.
Or flushing your toilet with it.
Right. There's absolutely no point. You could quite easily do that with a rainwater system and just save the reticulated water for drinking and cooking and showering.
Well, you know, water is quite interesting because we were visiting Cape Town one year and they had incredibly strict water restrictions. And people showered with a bucket in the shower, use that in the garden. You're dishing up water like the English do, a bowl in the sink, and you use that to go into the garden. So there was a real, and you were only allowed so many litres a household per person. So it was really, really strict. It was very interesting because people started to think about water, you know, which was the big thing.
Yeah, I think people don't at the moment because you just turn on the tap and there it is. And it's all drinkable and it's lovely and there it is.
Whereas we think a lot about water. We think a lot about energy because we're alternative energy. So we've got to be very careful about our power use. We've got to be very careful about our water use as well. I mean, it's not just we've got water for kind of Africa, which we kind of do.
Africa doesn't have much water, but anyway.
I know. I thought that's not quite the right thing to say. But we do have, we certainly have a lot of water, but if there ever is a drought, we have to actually be quite careful. We can't just use it willy-nilly because there is no, you know, there is no backup. Once you're through your
I put a 60, second tank in at this previous property, I put a second tank in because even though I'm a very low user of energy and water, because it was so much further east, and you get a hot summer, and you can get through that tank full of water quite quickly.
You leave a tap on overnight, and it's 19,000 litres has disappeared into your garden.
Oh my goodness!
One of the reasons I don't use drip irrigation is because once I walk through a doorway or an arch in the garden,
you forget.
Gone.
Timers are your friend.
Yes. But you also have your energy. Timers aren't that energy.
And my garden's too big.
Timers don't take energy.
No, that at all.
They're not energy at all. They're clockwork. They're like an egg timer.
Yes.
Okay.
You just whiz them round to 45 minutes or an hour or whatever it is and then just walk away. And as soon as it comes round to off, it's gone.
I'm sorry, we did use them before, I remember. This is a little few years ago. And as you say, as you walk away sometimes, the memory just goes, zoop, gone.
They're very clever.
But that drip irrigation, I notice they use it a lot in commercial things like wine farms, you know, grapes, because they only need a drip.
They want to be able to control their water.
So you want to be able to control your water. You want to be able to put enough on, not too much. You need to be in that Goldilocks zone, particularly when you're getting things like hedges and trees to establish. So it needs to be not too little,
not too much.
It needs to be just right. And you can control that with drip irrigation. But as I said, I only use it for getting things established, and then after that, they are on their own. The downside of drip irrigation, particularly when you're talking about things like trees, is because you're watering from the top, they tend to keep their roots, their feeder roots,
up at the surface of the soil.
So I think in year two, there's a bit of a weaning process where they don't get watered unless things get really quite bad. And then they get a really good, healthy dose of water, and then I switch it off again. Yes. And that's really just about keeping them alive rather than actively growing.
Oh, maybe that's why dear worker and I have a little bit of conflict, because I keep saying the ground is dry and he says they've got to learn to find the water, you know? I'm thinking, this is not your children that you're throwing out there.
Large discipline.
You know, you want the roots to go down. I mean, particularly, fruit trees particularly tend to be quite shallow rooted. And if they are, a friend of mine, used to be an old neighbour, was telling me that when him and his wife first moved into their property, they planted an orchard. And she was quite a keen gardener, but hadn't had an orchard before. And they were bucketing water onto these trees, bucketing. And after a couple of years, a windstorm came through.
Oh, and they all blew over.
Blew every tree in the orchard over because they were so shallow rooted. Yeah. It only went down sort of 40, 50 centimetres because they were used to being watered from the top.
Yes. But, you know, you look at these different systems. I'm just remembering in South Africa, which is very dry, and before drip irrigation, a lot of the old towns had what they call a sluice. It's a little water run. And then it had a little gate, and you had a certain time of the day you were allowed to take the water. So you lifted it up, and it flooded your veg garden or whatever, and they put it back again.
Wow.
So it was it was before the big pipes and everything went down. Mm. And they are still, I know Stellenbosch, which is a beautiful town, and it's a big university town. We used to go for rugby matches there. A number of students that fell into these things because they're a little bit on the edge, you know. Sorry, that's a side issue. But yes, so there are different systems.
We used to do something similar. Again, at the old house, my veggie garden was right out the back of the kitchen door. So kitchen and the laundry. So when it got really dry, I would take the hose out the back of the washing machine, attach it onto a garden hose, run it out across the deck and down into the veggie garden, and I dug channels down between the sweet corn.
Oh, right.
So the water that came out of the washing machine just went down this pipe and then just flooded all these channels around sweet corn.
Marnie, what about the detergent and stuff you were using?
There's so little of it. I was on a septic tank, so it was septic tank safe detergent from the start. And there's so little of it. I only use a little bit of detergent in a wash anyway. And I only ever did this when things got really dry and I was really hyper conserving water. So I did it a few times and then it would rain.
You had a pump in there. That's the thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I used to do it with the hose out of the... This was when we lived down Lincoln Road and we had a water shortage. And it was out of the bath. But you have to get the because there's no pump, you have to get it lower at the you know, to
siphon.
Get out. So the worker would sit at the other end, either sucking. No, it didn't really. I'd put some water in through the tap, then dimp it down, get the water going, and did the lawn that way because I thought, I must have a green lawn. Yeah, don't worry because we've got a weed lawn. So they survive anything, you know. But yes, there are different ways of doing that. Grey water, you know, that was a big thing that came in, is that you have all your household water, not just sewage, but going through a sort of filtration system. But as you say, a washing machine has a pump in it because that's a big thing. You've got to get that stuff moving.
Well, the water's going to be pumped out of the washing machine anyway. Yeah, so, you know, you might as well put it on your garden. And as long as you're spreading it around and not concentrating it in one place.
And so you have the hose then, you know, fitted. I can see.
You have to remember as well, there's a big difference between clean water, grey water and black water. Black water is something you don't mess with. That's the stuff that comes out of your toilet.
And that's
something that you don't want to do anything with. But grey water is absolutely fine, particularly if it's used sparingly and generally around your garden.
So, Anna Marie, you and water, we've talked...
We haven't talked about Ola.
Oh, yes, system. Ola, please talk about it.
So I
love the name.
I've got a section of my garden which is extremely hot and dry. It's up on a sort of a ridge with stones underneath it. And I initially had vegetable gardens in there, raised vegetable gardens, and I spent all my time standing there with a hose. And I thought, nope, not doing this. So I took it all out, dug it in, put reverse hugel cultures, which are a lot of rotten wood underground, with the kind of lined with black plastic, the evil black plastic. And that works really well, but I still need more water going into those things. I've got like passion fruits, avocados and citrus in there because it's quite a warm area. So what I use is a bit of a long story, but I accidentally planted a tree on top of my father-in-law's clay tile drain.
Oops.
And then had to dig up the whole thing. So I ended up with about 50 of these very large clay tile pipes. And then I, because they're porous,
yes.
So then I blocked off one end with cement.
Yes.
And made, and then I'd put them on top of the ground or bury them in the ground and then made these little caps for them with a hole in the top.
You could put water cement, in
there. And then I'd fill them up with water. And then the water would slowly seep out
yes.
the sides because the clay tiles are porous. And that would water that way. So it was really, it was a very
and
easy
that,
way
And that's
of,
called?
Ola. So
Ola, yes.
Spanish, isn't it?
Yes, yes. It's Spanish. So it's O-L-L-A or O-L-A or something like
yeah.
that. Mm. Normally they're done with a big round
pot
yes. with a little tiny top at the yes. bottom when they bury them in the ground and it's sort of a...
Yeah, I looked those up and I thought, what a good idea. You've just got to collect them.
So you, make can, them. You can make your, mm. make your own.
You had a whole yeah. lot of those pumps in your old property.
I use them for planting fruit trees.
Oh, okay.
So when I plant a fruit tree, I put one of those big clay field tile pipes
mm.
down in the hole, stand it up. So when I'm watering those fruit trees to get them established initially, I pour the water into the pipe. The water goes down the pipe and the water is underneath the fruit tree rather
right,
than watering
on
from
top.
The top.
Oh, that's clever.
So you're
and,
okay.
yeah, yeah, so yeah. so all the water goes down to the bottom of the of the what would be the hole where the tree mm. is planted in. So it encourages those roots to go down. Again, you only really need those in there for the first few years just to
yeah.
get them to the point of self-sufficiency yeah. And then you can pull them out and reuse them.
Yes. But that, there's so many different ways.
Mm.
So we're coming to the end of this program, but one thing is watch how you get your water, you know, get it mm. cleaned
mm-hmm.
and have
yep.
the dams full of funny things or was it a reciprocals full of things. And there's a lot of different methods and
yeah,
yeah.
Mm.
and
yep.
be careful.
And watch how you catch it, watch how you keep it, watch how you use it.
Yep. Good. Thanks very much today.